You're only seconds away from totally understanding your pet. All right, maybe not, but you will be smarter. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 11:35, and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. This is Lee Cohen here with my co-host Rick Pruce, and our guest this week is Dr. Carrie Lewis from the Riverside Cat Hospital. Dr. Lewis, one of the questions that I had for you is I've seen stories that pretty much came out the end of last year regarding H1N1. There was a big scare for people, but there were a couple of cats that were actually infected with H1N1. How does something like that happen? Is that something that human beings should be concerned about? Can you share some information about that?
Yeah, there were several cats. I believe the final number was three that were confirmed to be infected with the H1N1 virus. At least one of the cats, did die of the infection. There were a couple of ferrets as well, and more recently, a dog was actually infected. So we know that several types of companion animals can be infected with the H1N1 virus. Now, considering the number of pets in the local population and the prevalence of that particular virus, we can pretty safely say that the number of pets that are going to become infected is very low. But the precautions are the same as for transmission between people. So all of the infected pets did come from households where humans were sick with the disease. So it's believed that the infection was passed directly from the person in the household to the pets. And there isn't any evidence to show that the pets could transmit it back to the people, although that's certainly possible. So basically, you just want to take good, hand washing measures, good sanitation in the household. After you're touching your pet or petting your pet or playing with your pet, you want to make sure to wash your hands before you go and eat. Just your basic, general, good hygiene procedures. Avoid close contact with your pet if you're sick, because you could potentially pass the illness to them. But just the same as you would take for any other person in your household, basically, those same types of precautions.
I'm trying to figure out how my cat's going to use the back of his arm to kind of open the door, but that sounds fantastic. I think one of the things that would be helpful while we have you here today is if I'm a cat owner and I love my cat dearly, what types of things do I want to think about as a cat owner when it comes to the veterinary practice, and what can I be doing for my pet?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because a lot of people are under the impression that their cat only needs to come to the veterinarian when they're sick, which may not be all that often. It's a good idea for your cat to see the vet at least once a year. If your cat's getting to be a little bit older, 6, 7, 8 years old, kind of middle-aged, twice a year is certainly recommended. The veterinarian can pick up on things that you may not at home. Subtle changes in weight, a few ounces here or there can be a big deal for a cat. They may ask questions about your cat's diet, whether your cat's eating okay. They may be able to identify behavior problems early before they become an issue. For instance, maybe your cat didn't use the litter box last week and wasn't a big deal to you at the time, but your vet may pick up on that as something that needs to be addressed. So at least once a year or twice a year for middle-aged or older cats to visit the vet, even if you don't think there are any problems. It's important to keep vaccinations up to date, even for indoor cats, particularly rabies. We see a lot of rabies in southern Michigan. So cats need to be protected from diseases, even if they live completely indoors. And it's always good to make sure that your cat comes to the veterinarian on a regular basis so that the cat can get used to the people in the clinic, get used to the clinic itself, so that when he is sick, it's not so stressful for him to be there.
When I think of cats and cat problems, I think a lot of it is a lot of behavioral issues. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of health-related issues, and I think that that's fantastic. That seems like an arm reached out by the veterinary community that can really help. What about behavioral problems? Because that, in my field, we're at the counter every day and we're listening to customers' problems and questions with respect to cat behavior. And where can people turn for behavioral solutions for their cat problems? Because that's probably my number one concern when people come in the door is, how do I seem to control an animal that seems to be totally uncontrollable?
Yeah, unfortunately, there's just not a lot of information available to cat owners about cat behavior. If you go online, there's all kinds of websites that, you know, can give you information, but it's hard to tell how reliable that information is, whether or not it's good advice. The best source of information for questions about behavior with your cat is your veterinarian. And of course, some veterinarians are going to have a bigger interest in feline behavior than others. So if you're not satisfied with the answers you get from your vet, it never hurts to check around and get a second opinion. There are actually veterinary behaviorists that are certified in the field. Unfortunately, there aren't any in Lansing, but it's an up-and-coming field. There's an excellent one in the Detroit area. The AAFP, which is the American Association of Feline Practitioners, has a website with resources for cat owners that can direct them to articles about certain behavior issues and can also help them find a feline veterinarian in their area if they don't already have one. So that's an excellent resource.
Well, that's excellent. I think in chatting with Lee, it sounds like we're going to be able to have that connected up. How would one get access to information as we bring it up on the show?
If they go to the WILS website, 1320WILS.com, there is a banner for the Pet Expert Talk Show. If you click on it, there is a website that features all of our different experts and a variety of links to some of the resources that you hear about on the show. So we encourage you to go there and also to email any questions that you have for Rick or for any of our pet experts to our email address, which is mmpets, at 1320wils.com.
Excellent. And, you know, as a cat practitioner, how does that change your view? It sounds like it would be really helpful, the fact that you're doing 24/7, but for many hours as you're open. And what are your hours? And how has it helped by focusing specifically on cats?
I think a lot of it is simply mentality. Myself and all of the employees at the clinic are certainly what we would call cat people. We enjoy working with cats, and that's not always true at every veterinary clinic. Some people are, you know, more in tune with dogs. So we really love working with cats. I think we're very patient with them. Not all cats like coming to the vet. So, you know, we've got little tricks up our sleeve that can help a cat to be more comfortable. The cat may not be happy about being there, but we'll try and make their visit as low stress as possible. And we enjoy working with cats, and I think that makes a big difference in our attitudes with clients and pets, and it comes across.
Dr. Lewis, I have a question for you. With the record cold weather that we're experiencing pretty much throughout the country, how does the cold weather affect outdoor cats in particular? Because I would imagine, just like a human being, too much exposure to too cold of weather cannot be a good thing for them.
Yeah, cats that are acclimated to living outdoors, so in other words, they've been living outside, you're not taking an indoor cat and moving it to the outdoors, but cats that are acclimated to living outdoors can do quite well year-round, but in the wintertime, especially around here, it gets very cold. You do want to make sure that the cat has some sort of shelter, whether that be in a garage or a barn or some sort of, you know, small house like a dog house that's insulated, some sort of bedding, straw, blankets, something to keep the cat warm is essential. And you also have to be cognizant of food and water. You know, water can freeze over at this time of year, so you need to make sure that your outdoor cat has a source of fresh water and food. You know, a lot of outdoor cats supplement their food by hunting, and hunted animals may not be as plentiful this time of year, so you do need to take some precautions and make sure that your cat has adequate shelter and food available outdoors. You could even, if the cat likes to come indoors, there are a lot of cats that are what we call indoor-outdoor. Make sure that your cat spends more of his time indoors, particularly when it's very cold outside.
One common debate in the cat community is whether a cat should be outside. What's your position on that? Obviously, it seems like there'd be some situations where it would be inappropriate, and then there's other situations where maybe it would be appropriate. What do you do to advise your customers whether the cat goes outside or not?
Yeah, that's something that a person needs to consider, ideally before they even get a cat, where it's going to be housed, indoor or outdoor or a combination. Most people in this area do tend to keep their cats indoors, but there are outdoor cats around, and certainly a cat that's declawed or has medical condition that might affect their ability to run or defend themselves, those cats should be housed exclusively indoors. you also have to take into account the location of your home, you know, what sort of environment you live in. If you're near a busy road, might not be the best place for your cat to be running around outside. Outdoor cats generally get more exercise and don't tend to be overweight, but they're also exposed to diseases from other stray cats.
Sure.
They're at higher risk of being hit by a car or being injured. So there's considerations to make either way. I don't personally have a position on whether a cat should be kept indoor or outdoor, but people do need to be aware of the risks of having an outdoor cat and make sure that they're taking precautions to prevent those, you know, those risks from happening as much as possible.
Excellent. And one other thought that comes to my mind that I had a really positive experience with, it was actually my brother-in-law had an Aussie cat, which is a very high energy acrobatic cat, and had some behavioral issues with it when it was getting aggressive to his wife. And just simply introducing a second cat changed that like immediately. What's the overall thought of one cat, two cats, 20 cats, you know, a blue cat, green cat? Help us out in understanding about cat behavior with relating to why do they attack? Why did that solve the problem? What can people think about when they think about cat and multiple cats versus single cat?
Yeah, your point about the Aussie cat and the high energy is very important, because cats that are housed exclusively indoors, a lot of people miss the point that environmental enrichment for those cats is very important. Many of the behavioral problems that we see, destructive scratching, you know, not using the litter box, many of those problems stem from the fact that the cat's just bored with their indoor environment. And
sure.
So I think adding the second cat in that situation helped to alleviate some of that boredom and
right.
helped the cat to release his energy in a more positive way.
Yeah.
That's something that's often overlooked by cat owners, because cats, at least on the surface, appear to be pretty sedentary most of the time, and
yeah.
we don't realize that they, you know, they have needs for mental stimulation as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's another excellent website that we can link to that addresses, you know, how to provide appropriate stimulation for your indoor cat. It's put up by the Ohio State University Vet School. It's called indoorcat.org, that I encourage everybody to visit. But as far as, you know, the number of cats in the household, it's quite an individual thing. There are many cats out there that are perfectly happy being the only cat and would not be happy being introduced
right.
to other cats
right.
or other pets of any sort. And there are other situations where, you know, maybe a pair of siblings came together, or you just, like in your situation, a very high energy cat. In those sorts of situations, you know, two or three cats might be appropriate. Once you start getting to higher numbers, four cats, five cats in a household, you can start running into problems with inter-cat issues and behavioral problems, because cats in general are solitary animals. Their mentality is not to live in a pack. So when you start having higher numbers of cats together, you start to have more problems with cats not using the litter box, or cats having aggression issues towards each other. So I don't usually recommend that owners think about getting more than two or three cats unless there are specific, you know, conditions that warrant it.
Fantastic. That's excellent advice.
This is Lee Cohen and Rick Pruce with the Mid-Michigan Pet Experts Talk Show. We've been talking to Dr. Kerry Lewis from the Riverside Cat Hospital in Okemos. If you have any questions or want any information, you can contact the doctor or visit some of the references that she cited on our website, www.1320wils.com. And again, visit the sites of these pet experts and take advantage of their knowledge. In our next segment, we're going to talk with Sarah Vickery from the Mid-Michigan Cat Rescue and find out what it is that they're doing and what it is that they need so that we can keep some of these feline friends in the best possible condition this winter and possibly unite a family and a friend together and do some good for the community. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.